This is a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Lori Vallow Daybell back in court today for another pretrial hearing in her upcoming murder trial. Let's go to the courtroom right now to get the latest.
This is State of Arizona versus Lori Daybell, CR 2021-001704.
Your Honor, for the record, this Trini Kay on behalf of the state, and for the record, the next of kin and the victim in the 2022 matter are appearing virtually.
All right.
Good morning, Your Honor. Pamela Hicks and Robert Abernathy as advisory counsel for Ms. Daybell.
Go ahead and announce.
Lori Daybell.
All right. Thank you. My courtroom assistant said there's some issue with advisory counsel at the table.
Yeah, I apologize, Your Honor. I didn't think about the logistics, so I'll just let Ms. Daybell.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to ask if I could have my investigator up here at the table, because if I needed to ask him something, then I need him available.
Wait. Yeah, any side can designate an investigator to sit with them through the trial and through court proceedings. So that you can have, if you can fit three chairs there, that's fine. Otherwise, advisory counsel could scoot her chair behind it, whatever you think is logistically easier.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. I just received word literally 2 minutes ago that we will be using Judge Kemp's courtroom, and we can use it for the entire first trial. Which is in the South Court Tower, which will give us more space as needed. Have the parties, I had my staff drop off the proposed questionnaire on your table this morning. I know you just got it this morning. You may need some time to read through it. That's my proposed questionnaire. Obviously, there's maybe a lot more questions that either side would like to ask the potential jurors in follow-up. So this is not limiting what would be asked ultimately to the jurors. In addition to this, the questions in this questionnaire, when the potential jurors come in, I always go over the burden of proof. I go over credibility of witnesses in a little more detail, especially as it pertains to how people perceive officer testimony, and some other areas I'll highlight. So there, I intend on asking more than just what's in this questionnaire, but this questionnaire is intended to get through some of the bigger issues, such as pretrial publicity or opinions people may have had or exposure to the case people may have had, and then it has the questions where we may lose additional jurors on the trial schedule. And then victims of crime, views about police officer, and then if they've been charged or a close family member's been charged with a criminal offense, and to explain that. Any comments from the state?
Judge, in terms of publicity, I think my concern would be that when the jurors come in here and start hearing about the case or hearing testimony about the case, they'll hear the names Tylee and JJ, which obviously were more, there was more publicity about those than about Charles Vallow. And so I think if we really want to ensure that the jury is unbiased and has had no pretrial publicity with regards to the defendant, we're going to have to question them as to their knowledge of her other convictions out of Idaho. That was something that was just incredibly all over the media.
I agree, but I think that may happen in individual voir dire. This initial questionnaire, if they recognize the name Vallow or Daybell and they've been exposed to something in the media about it, they should tell us about what they know about it and about whether they know about that other case and whether they know about anything that happened to it about it. So I anticipate losing a number of jurors just based on that, but I agree with you. Some may say they've been exposed to it, but it wouldn't affect their ability to be fair, and in individual voir dire we can explore those options. I don't want to necessarily taint the whole pool by saying, hey, she's got these convictions in this other state.
And Your Honor, I don't propose we talk about the convictions, but we will hear the names JJ and Tylee in this trial. So that's my concern, is if we don't raise those names, whether or not we put them in the list as people that they may hear.
What I could do is on question 15, where it lists out my name, the court staff, I need to include your name, the attorney's names, the advisory counsel's names in there. I'll add those. But at the bottom, where it says other potential witnesses, I could do a third or another category that says other people that may be referenced but are not going to testify and list those names. That's fine. Is there any in addition to those two?
That would be the only for that. I think the other issue is, of course, the defendant's supplemental 15.2 names.
When was that filed? I haven't seen it.
I filed actually two motions to preclude them all and emailed them to your court Sunday.
Okay, maybe that's in my folder. That's on my desk. Before
the defense filed that on the 12th of March.
Okay, before we get to that, let me ask the defendant. Other comments on the proposed questionnaire and the information that we're going to put in there?
I think it's
clear. What's that?
Pretty clear.
Okay. Do you have any objection to listing Tylee and JJ, because they will be mentioned?
No.
Okay. All right. Let's take a look here. Let me ask the state. You have 21 witnesses listed. I need to look at the defense witnesses that were listed. And we're after jury selection. I recognize jury selection could take longer than the initial week that I've set forth, but from April 7th to May 15th, the current screening, that is 20 full days of trial and two half days, so essentially 21 days of trial. Do you really think we need to screen that far out? I know you're being overly cautious.
I think, especially given that I'm not positive we'll pick a jury in that first week, I think we should, Your Honor.
All right. Defense, have any comment on how we're screened through May 15th?
I think it's plenty of time, Your Honor, myself.
All right, let's deal with a couple things first. I've received the notice of compliance. That was when the defendant requested the Gilbert video. Is that apply to the second case or this case?
Your Honor, it's an incident that occurred in January. It's not really, it was disclosed because it is mentioned in the DR. The defense had filed a motion for the state to disclose that. And then had brought up again on the 11th that the state had not disclosed it, that there was some YouTube video of that. I have looked for said YouTube video. I have gone through the police report. I don't know what video she's discussing, but we're not aware of any video that hasn't been disclosed. So I'm just providing notice that disclosure is complete as to that police report that is peripherally relevant.
All right. Any comment on that?
Yes, Your Honor. For clarity, is the state proposing that there is no video or that they don't have to give it to me because it's not attached to that DR number?
I think what she said was she's not aware of what video you referenced. So as far as her knowledge, she doesn't have it and doesn't know about it.
So I should go directly to Gilbert Police Department to get it?
Well, last time you were in court, you said your investigator or someone told you about it.
A mitigator. Showed it to me.
If they have that link, why don't they just send it to the state, and that may help the state determine if that's something they've already disclosed.
I will tell you why they won't, because that is my former team, and they will not do anything to help my investigator, my paralegal. They won't give us any information that they found. They won't talk to us at all because apparently there was a conflict. So they will not help us. They will not send us anything. They will not email us anything. They will not answer anything that we ask them to. So that has been the response from my former defense team. That's where we are.
All right. Do you know and maybe your advisory councils can speak to this. Did they turn over a file to you, or did you have to start from scratch?
No. From what I understand, all they turned over was the 22 terabyte hard drive, and that is it. They didn't turn on any notes, any work product, nothing that they had done to that point. And they continue to stand by that today, even though a lot of that information I gave to them, they would not give it back to me.
All right, I'm going to make an order, and it'll be in the minute entry that they turn over a copy of their entire file, including any mitigation information that was gathered to the advisory council. That makes Hicks, you look like you want to say something.
I don't know.
No, I'm good,
Your Honor. Thank you.
All right, so I'll do a more detailed order about they should have turned over a copy of their entire file to advisory council when they withdrew. All right, so I've read the defendant's disclosures that were filed March 6th and March 12th, as well as the state's motion to preclude. And, well, let me start. Have you received any response from the defense, anyone from the defense team, since you filed this on March 16th?
Your Honor, last night at 10:30 or so, defendant's investigator sent over a list of the addresses of the witnesses. I did speak with him this morning. I still am unclear if defense will be setting up those interviews or if they will be providing phone numbers to the state to set them up ourselves. As for the expert, again, last night at like 10:30 at night, defense investigator emailed the state and indicated that the defense expert would need to or wanted to obtain the physical laptops and cell phones that the police had impounded so that he could then review them, do his own sub-write or extractions. So obviously the expert hasn't even begun work, let alone they've also requested all impounded items from law enforcement. I'm unclear if they're asking for ones that were impounded in Idaho as part of their investigation or just the ones here. The statements from the investigator appears to be all of them, which would mean the state would have to request Idaho to send those to the investigator. So again, given all of those issues, I don't see how that it would be possible for the state to provide that to the expert prior to this trial beginning, let alone to get a report or an opinion prior to this trial beginning.
All right, let's set aside Dworkin for the time being. So you're... Well, let me ask the investigator. What's your name, sir?
Jeff.
Jeff what?
White.
Okay, Mr. White, are you going to be setting up interviews for the state to interview whatever potential witnesses the defendants noticed?
I'm trying to verify. Excuse me, sir. I'm trying to verify the phone numbers to be correct. I do have a few of them, but some of them I'm trying to make sure that these are the correct numbers.
Okay.
I did the searches for them, and I have to apologize. I left yesterday, and for some odd reason, my email just did not go through. So,
Your Honor, my understanding is that the state has interviewed every single person on my witness list previously. That's where I got the people from the interviews that they had from the state previously. So I understand that they're allowed to do another interview of them, but they have interviews of every single person that is on my list, with the exception of one.
Which is who?
Which is Nate Eaton.
Okay. When you say the state's done the interview, do you mean police or someone from the prosecutor's office?
In discovery, I have interviews with police on every single one of the witnesses that are on my list.
Okay.
So I know that they had their addresses. I know that we were trying to get the addresses to them in the quickest way possible. And where I am at the jail, the communication is very difficult for me to get a hold of my investigator, to get a hold of my paralegal. I'm 23 hours a day locked down. If I don't have Wi-Fi, I don't have a phone. If I don't have battery, I don't have a phone. I don't have access to get to people. So I understand the time constraints, and we're doing the best that we can of getting things answered, getting things put together.
So as a threshold question, your assertion is that all these people that you've listed in your notices have relevant information for trial?
Correct.
And do you know if the police have interviewed these people?
Your Honor, the first listed person is a reporter. So I'm not really sure the relevance of a reporter.
He's the only one that hasn't been. So that's what I stated.
That's the latest from the courtroom, and Lori Vallow Daybell in her supposed final hearing before her upcoming trial. Jury selection begins March 31st. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our coverage right here. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for joining us.
This has been a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.